Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp, then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
It's a big month in the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. Praise God, this month we will be dedicating the shrine to Blessed Stanley Rother. So I hope that you have that on your calendars and are at least planning to tune in on television or going to the actual dedication. Also today, after a bit of a long wait and patience and prayer, we're going to bring John into the church as a full member, and then we're going to bless John and Laura's marriage. And so we are rejoicing with you and your family and friends who gather today. So it's an exciting day and an exciting time. This particular gospel and these readings and this particular time within the church's calendar and in ordinary time in these readings, the Lord and the church is focusing us on the great Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, as you may know, is not just the Beatitudes. It actually is, particularly in Matthew's Gospel, takes up about three chapters. There's a lot going on that mountainside. The Lord kind of puts forth for us his plan for salvation, how to live our life with God. In this gospel, he says, your light must shine before others. But to be honest, while that's important, of course, I'm not as interested in salt and light as I am in the foot and the bushel basket. If salt loses its flavor, it could be trampled underfoot. And sometimes that light that tries to shine is put under a bushel basket. There are elements, people, situations, all sorts of evils in the world today that want to crush you underfoot and hide your joy under some basket of hatred and death. It is not a time to hide or to let yourselves be silent. Now, in this time, this year, this culture, this reality, it is a time to proclaim truth. Jesus, come to our aid. Your light must shine before others. Paul says we don't need to have fancy speech, the highest of intellect, or even a doctorate in Scripture. What is most important? Well, Paul says, "For I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, if you love to study and learn and want to become an expert in Scripture, moral theology, and systematic theology, or some other church discipline, please do that. I'm not telling you not to. You should, and we need those people in the church and the world. Now, Paul is saying to us, above all, In order for us to know the will of God, in order to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, knowing Jesus is the prime directive. Jesus destroys the foot that comes to crush our faith. Jesus casts off the bushel basket that wants to snuff out our hope and our joy. So how do we know Jesus? There's lots of ways, obviously. I came across this beautiful testimony of an individual who converted to the Catholic faith. I know there's many in here today who are converts to the Catholic faith. Particularly, they came to the church here at this parish. And you might have a similar experience of the power of Jesus and his love in the sacraments within the church. So this person is speaking maybe a little bit of time after she came into the church. And she says these words, "The best thing about being Catholic today is that I get to fully participate in all the sacraments, particularly reconciliation and the Eucharist. Any apprehension or fear of judgment I had before going into confession was gone as soon as I received absolution. When I left the confessional, I felt like I had scored a touchdown for God. What an exhilarating experience to know that I had been forgiven for my sins and that I was going to make a clean start on not committing those same sins again. I am also deeply filled with such grace when I receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Eucharist. I know that I am not a finished Christian yet, and that I have much more to learn. Each Mass I attend is another opportunity for me to get to know Jesus on a deeper level and realize the agape kind of love that the Pope speaks of and that I feel throughout my body and soul when I am in the presence of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God." Converts are the best Catholics sometimes, right? But they speak this joy that we should all have, this desire that we should all have every day, every Sunday, every moment we walk into this church, when we go to adoration, when we go to prayer. Knowing Jesus begins with an encounter. We can encounter Jesus in many ways, but it must be grounded in prayer. Prayer is the most important thing we do daily in this life. How often do you just sit and have a conversation with God? How much time do we spend in vocal prayer, meditative prayer, contemplative prayer, prayer where we just talk to God? Why wouldn't you want to pray every day? Talk to God. Encounter him in the sacraments of confession and the Eucharist. Encounter him in your love of others, family, friends, or the stranger. Seek this encounter with Jesus. Receive the love of the Lord. Is prayer always like this description that we hear about from that convert? Like scoring a touchdown? No, obviously not. It's not. We can be real. Sometimes it's kind of dry. Sometimes prayer is not always about what we feel, and it can't be. Sometimes we don't feel anything. Sometimes we just don't have the motivation to go to prayer, Mass, or anything religious. Sometimes we just don't care. And this is the test. The devil will work hard in these moments to deceive you and take you away from God, to bring doubt into your heart. Jesus, Mary, the angels and saints, though they will work even harder than the devil to say that you are not alone. Have faith, trust in Jesus, believe that he is always close and always loving you. Cardinal Van Thuan of Vietnam, I like his life and his story quite a bit. I've talked about him before, but just to remind you, he was a cardinal from Vietnam who was imprisoned by the communist government there and spent 12 years in solitary confinement. When finally he was freed, he, of course, conducted many interviews and spoke to a lot of people and even published a book that he wrote while he was in prison. So I just want to read to you two questions and two answers from a particular interview. Cardinal Van Thuan, now remember, he had this experience of being in a prison camp in solitary for 12 years, but he wasn't fully isolated from everyone. In fact, on a daily basis, he encountered and spoke to the prison guards and even some people every now and then that he saw, other prisoners. And so one of the questions he was asked is, what prayers, when you were in this prison, what prayers were you able to say? And his response is, I prayed with the word of God, the Psalms. Now, he didn't have a Bible, but Catholic priests and bishops, we pray the Psalms every day. And we have them, a lot of them, memorized. He also grew up praying. So he said, also, I said the prayers I had recited in the family chapel every evening when I was a child. Now we know why prayer at home is so vitally important. You have to pray with your children, even when they don't want to. You have to bring them to Mass, even when they don't want to. It means something. The liturgical songs came back to me, he said. I often sang the Veni Creator, the hymns of the martyrs, the Sanctorum Meritis, and the Creed. I truly appreciate those beautiful prayers. It is necessary to have experienced the darkness of incarceration, conscious of the fact that your suffering is offered for faithfulness to the Church. In particular, I call two prayers, my prayers of liberation. So these two prayers, he calls them his prayers of liberation. One was the Litany of the Saints, and the other was the Beatitudes. Particularly in the Litany, and when it says, from all evil, Lord, save your people. From every sin, Lord, save your people. From everlasting death, Lord, save your people. By your death and rising to new life, Lord, save your people. By your gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, save your people. And in the Beatitudes, on one hand, I share the misery of the poor, of those who shed tears, those who are persecuted for justice's sake. On the other, I contemplate God's mercy and strength, which frees them. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. But the last question is very interesting, and he gave a very simple answer. After so many years under solitary confinement, under communist rule, under a lot of suffering, illness, injury, he saw a lot of death, a lot of evil. He was asked this question, why are there crises in the church today? His answer is, simply because people do not take prayer seriously anymore. People don't take prayer seriously. The true way to being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, knowing Jesus Christ in prayer and sharing the love of Jesus with others. That's it. In other words, never being afraid of the truth of your faith, never being afraid to say, I know Jesus and him crucified. Never being afraid. Never being afraid to say to the Lord, I am with you. Let your light shine to all the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.